Cooney, reel one.
I'd like to start off talking to you a little bit about your general background.
Yes.
I believe from our earlier conversation that your childhood was characterized by moving around amongst a good number of places by virtue of
yes.
of the kind of changes of occupation
My
that your father
went through. That's
yes.
right.
Could you tell me a bit about your father and the kind of work he did?
Well, he was born and brought up in Enniskillen, Northern Ireland.
Yes.
And his father was a big noise in the town, mayor and all that sort of thing. And at the age of 11, he just ran away. Didn't like it, got fed up with his home, and he went to Belfast and shipped, as a ship's boy before the mast, and went round the world. And when he came home 4 years later, he went back home and his father said, well, having gone away, you can stay away. And he did this for him. He apprenticed him. And so he went to sea, and he stayed at sea until he married at the age of 30.
I see.
All in sail. He never went in. He had one voyage on a steamship, which he didn't
yes.
like at all. He was a sailor. Mm.
What sort of effect did his movements have on your personal childhood and upbringing?
Well, of course, as I told you, I had not the great advantage of going to Osborne, which I wanted to do, and becoming a proper sailor. I didn't get the ordinary schooling of a chap who goes to a good public school. And I had certain disadvantages. I didn't go to Sandhurst. I could have done that had I known enough about it, or my father. And that cost me a great deal in seniority. Followed me all the way through my service.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, I'm not conscious of any unfortunate effect.
No.
Please.
Your father had some interesting occupations. One of the things which intrigued me when we were speaking last was that he seems to have set up one of the first coin in the slot
yes.
machine businesses.
Yes, that was his business. He was a penny in the slot meter maker, and it was the first, and it was called the London and Liverpool Meter Company, and he had his works in Tooley Street and
in London
mm. he ran the London side of it, and they made these gas meters, because gas had come in as the normal method of lighting houses, except those who still stuck to oil. And it was a very profitable business. But, of course, as soon as electricity came in, it knocked the bottom out of it.
Do you have any recollection of the manufacturing processes he set up? What were his workshop facilities?
I can't
like?
Remember anything about them. I was too small.
Mm-hmm.
I only remember that I used to go to the works with him, especially on payday, and carry around the money for him when he paid. He always paid his men personally. And I was always very flattered at carrying the bag of golden sovereigns.
Yes.
But I can't remember anything about the details of the work.
Okay.
I remember what they looked like, what the result looked like, but I can't. I'm too small to appreciate that.
You told me that another thing he tried his hand at was training Arab horses.
That was what he first started with, a chap called...
That struck me as a particularly surprising occupation for an ex-sailor.
Yes. Mind you, he'd always, coming from Ireland, he's sort of born almost on the back of a horse. All his brothers are good horsemen. And I think he thought... He did ride when a few occasions went home. He was quite capable of hunting.
Do you remember anything of this activity?
No,
I
can remember anything.
Mm. Tell me a bit about your schooling, your education. What kind of schools were you educated
in? Well, I went first of all to an ordinary board school.
Mm-hmm.
Which cost my mother a lot of broken hearts.
In what way?
Well, none of her people had ever been to such a school.
Oh, I see. This was a bit infradig.
Oh, very much so.
Yes.
And
how did you fit into the board school environment? Did you find it easy?
It's all right. They all suspected me. It was quite obvious that I wasn't one of them, and it ended up in a lot of fights, as a rule.
Yes. What were the causes of those fights?
Put up jobs.
I suppose they thought they'd bring you down a bit.
Yeah, that's right. But I could fight a bit, and I did. Sometimes I get seen off, but not very often. It did me all the good in the world, one of the best things I learned at school.
Yeah. What do you remember of the board school education? What was the curriculum?
I can only remember that I learnt certain things there which I have never forgotten. And I suppose today it would be rather odd.
What things?
I went the 43rd Psalm and the 13th chapter of Corinthians and Kipling's Recessional and things like that, which we all learnt. And the feeling about the country. I've forgotten it, W.E. Henley or somebody, England by England, what have I done for you, England by England, what is there I would not do, England by England, all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Little boys learnt it, and it had an effect on them. That was the reason why we went through the first 2 years of the first war on a voluntary basis. People won't believe it now when I tell them it was all voluntary the first 2 years.
This learning by rote, did that play a prominent part in the teaching method?
I don't know. I wasn't sufficiently... I couldn't appreciate the technique of teaching in that sort of being only a small boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think all learning by heart is a good thing. I've got into the habit of learning poetry by heart and I know a great deal of it, even years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very glad I have.
Mm-hmm. Where were you and your family living in 1914 when war broke out?
We were down at Westcliff-on-Sea in Essex.
Yes.
My father eventually finished up running a steamship service round the Medway and places like that.
Westcliff-on-Sea?
Yes.
At Westcliff-on-Sea, did the approach of war... Do you have any memories of the approach of war that are particular to the area?
Oh, a good deal of the excitement. Oh, yes. Oh, it was... we had all sorts of excitements. At the Isle of Grain, on the other side of the river, there was a naval quay around Sheerness there. And I can't remember when it was, but the German emperor came over to some state visit. And everybody turned out to see... and the band on the Hohenzollern played See the Conquering Hero Comes, which amused us all very much. Because we knew then, everybody knew then, that sooner or later there was going to be a showdown with the Germans.
You've mentioned this feeling of excitement. As far as your personal experience was concerned, can you remember any other symptoms of it?
Yes. The bulwark was lying at that same quay when it blew up. I saw the result of that. Smoking it from 6 miles away. We live six the other side
of them. What was the bulwark?
The bulwark was a battleship. Blew up in the very beginning of the First War. And of course we had Zeppelin raids and things like that which cheered us up. We used to go out and do night duty on watch for Zeppelins.
Yes. And with the outbreak of war, was there any kind of local demonstrations for or against the war?
Oh, Lord, no.
No?
No, Lord, no. No, I never heard of such a thing.
Demonstration?
Everybody was so anxious to get into the army or navy or do something that... that I ever heard of. I never heard of it. Second war, yes, obviously.
Any demonstrations of anti-German feeling that you can...
Occasionally, yes. There was a certain amount of stupidity.
For example?
Well, Germans, some Germans had... I know in London Mall there was a little eating house which was damn good where I always used to get my bun for lunch. And that was run by a very nice little German and they did chuck bricks through the window and hounded him out, that sort of thing, but it wasn't really very bad. But there was a good deal of that, you see, in those days.
I believe you have a recollection of the banks at the beginning of the war.
No, my only recollection of the bank is that there was a bank at the corner of the road we lived in, and there was a thing called a moratorium. The banks closed, and you couldn't get any money for a fortnight. That's my chief recollection, seeing the notice posted up on the bank, saying that the banks would be closed indefinitely.
Now, with the outbreak of war, what was your personal reaction to it?
Well, my personal view, you see, I went, after I'd finished with my primary school, I went on to a secondary school in Southend, and I'd taken my senior Cambridge local, and I'd taken my London matriculation, and so I was just on the point of leaving, you see, when the war broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also been in the school cadet corps, where I was a corporal, and eventually a sergeant, rather proud of myself as a small boy with a uniform in those days. And eventually I even did get a commission in the cadet corps. And I was very pleased myself then. And in due course, I was too young to join. I was only about 16 then. And at 17, I tried to get into, first of all, the Royal Naval Air Service, which they wouldn't have me because they thought I was too young.
Tell me what happened exactly when you made that
attempt. Well, I went to see Rupert Guinness, who was a recruiting chap somewhere in the Strand, I've forgotten the address, and he put me through the hoop and eventually said, well, I'm afraid we won't have any use for you just yet. Perhaps later on, if you'll come back, we could find something.
What did putting you through the hoop involve?
Questioning me as to who I was, what I did, what I can do, what I'd done at school, and what I wanted to do and why.
Yes. After that first effort to get in, how long was it before you finally succeeded in getting to the army?
Oh, well, I as soon as that was over, I thought, well, I now have a shot to get in the army. And I went to Bawley Barracks, which is our local regiment, the Essex Regiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember well taking all my certificates of education with me and all the rest of it. And it didn't impress them very much either. So, I mean, there were advertisements, you know, for people of certain educational standards to apply for commissions.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and they got no change, so...
Can you give me a little more detail about what happened to you when you tried at Worley Barracks to get
into the
Essex?
Well, I just had almost exactly the same sort of examination that I got from the Naval Air Service. I was questioned by the commanding officer, this and that and there, and eventually he said, well, you're a bit young and we think perhaps it'd be better if you came along a little later or something like that, you see.
It sounds as if your extreme youthfulness played a part in both attempts.
I think
get into the RNAS.
Well, I think it did, but there were some people who were younger than me who managed to get in all right.
Mm.
But that was chiefly by you. They went straight into the ranks. We could have done that quite easily.
Yes.
But I was rather anxious to get a commission.
A worthy
ambition. And eventually, I joined the Inns of Court Officers Training Corps.
Yes, that struck me when you told me about it before as an unusual course in 1915. One assumed it would not be too difficult to get a direct entry commission, but from what you tell me, in fact, it wasn't as straightforward as I'm obviously assuming. Why did you choose this method of getting the Inns of Court?
Well, I knew jolly well that if I'd get into the court, I would get a commission. That's what it was for. That's what the regiment did. And the only question was, would they take me? And they did. Very largely, I think, because my cousin was a man called Edward Carson, who was a very well-known QC.
Do you have any recollections of your actually enlisting in the Inns of Court OTC?
Oh, no, not actual enlistment. I only knew that we did our first elementary recruit training in the temple, in the gardens there at the temple. When I was there for about a month, I think. Then we went down to Berkhamsted, where they had the battalion was in camp.
Yes.
And I was there till November, I think. Got a commission in November.
What kind of people were in the Inns of Court OTC with you? Were they all exclusively legal?
Great many of them, oh yes. All the officers and non-commissioned officers and warrant officers were mostly legal people. And the people who joined them were, well, the people they took, and I was one. My connection with the law was very, very distant. Mm. But I suppose they liked to look at my face, and that's all there was to it.
How did they organise and base you on the Inns of Court? Well, what sort of conditions were you living and working under there?
In the Inns of Court?
Yes.
Oh, they were just those of a private soldier.
Yes.
Oh, yes. My first introduction to the Italian that...
Well, this was at Berk Hampstead.
Berk Hampstead, yes, that's right. Yes. That's the name of the place,
yes. Yes. I was interested in how actually they accommodated you when you did your first period of training at the Inns of Court. Where were you living? Were you going home
each day? I was going
home
every night.
I see,
yes.
Fine. Any particular recollections of that period when you were with the Inns of Court OTC in the temple? Rather an unusual place to do your... start your basic training?
Yes.
Does it trigger any memories?
Very unusual, but very pleasant.
Okay.
And I've strangely enough, have always had a leaning towards the law.
You completed your basic training then you completed your officer training at Berk Hampstead.
Yes.
Between June and November 1915.
Yes.
Well, what are your memories of that particular period? What was the nature of the officer training, for example?
It was just ordinary, for the bulk, ordinary training as another rank, a soldier. We did all our marches and exercises, and we had a few extra lectures and things like that on duties of officers and military law and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it was a most enjoyable period. I thought I had pleased myself very, especially when I found two of my schoolmasters coming back into my platoon when I was the platoon sergeant.
Now, your first appointment after you were commissioned was with the Royal Scots Fusiliers.
Yes.
You were sent to Gourock on the Clyde.
That's right.
Joined the 3rd Reserve Battalion. What are your memories of your first official appointment as a newly commissioned second lieutenant?
I did a course before I went up to join the Reserve. I did an officer joining course down at Yelverton.
Yelverton?
Yelverton in Devon.
Yes.
Which I thoroughly enjoyed again. We were billeted there and I thoroughly enjoyed that.